Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Wow, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Do you gentlemen think it might be a little too early to
have a drink?
Start the manager of the year? Yeah. The world record for interruptions would be right there.
I've done it earlier than that.
I can't
Mike,
even
I've
set the
before.
Show up. I can't set
I've
my open.
Definitely done it before, but I'm sorry. Too early for what? Manager of the year? Apparently, you had a good night of baseball.
Anyway, yes,
that's great.
5-0.
That's crazy. Did you ever think that that could happen? Did you anticipate a 5-0 at all?
Yes.
Well, then, no.
Do you?
Thy will be done.
No. When you line up to go shake hands across the mound,
yeah.
Do you shake hands with the coach and can you say, can you believe no one wanted to coach this team?
Oh, that would be great.
That's funny. I got a real kind of quick little hand slap from the coach last night. But, I mean, it was, you know, we had a nice little exchange during the game, so I don't think that meant anything. I think it's just like
Can you thumbnail the other coach? Is he a younger fellow than you? Is he look like anyone
famous?
Well,
Rob, they're all younger than me.
I understand. It was sort of a softball question. But
the I think it was a thumping. We did it again, and I have a band of kids that is they've got big personalities and they're good kids and they just deliver. It's fun. I'm having a blast, and it's just kind of a giddy, you know. The only thing we had to worry about was just keeping decorum in the dugout, because everybody's kind of bouncing off the walls last night, and
just like the 61 Yankees, Mike, it's an exciting time to be a part of baseball.
Oh, okay, since we're on the subject of baseball,
yes.
What is the deal with people? I mean, really, what is the deal with someone who has... Let's just put ourselves in Yankee Stadium last night.
Okay.
And congratulations to the Yankees for extending the series against the Dodgers, the World Series.
And remember, those tickets are $2,000 minimum to get into that game.
That is, I think, probably what a lot of people in the country are thinking right now. That's a $2,000 ticket. That's somebody who has... Truly, and that's Philadelphia. You've got tickets.
Well,
really.
Yeah, but still.
That's Philly.
Okay.
That's Philly.
What would New York be? What would New York be then?
You got tickets?
Okay, better. You're a better voice guy than me.
But no, but I mean, what Josh brings up is that you have had to have, I don't want to say you've had to have success in your life or be a responsible person. No, anybody could score those tickets for any reason whatsoever. So we can't really judge people by that. But...
Would you say this, Mike? The person had to prioritize the importance of the game if they wanted
to be
there. You wouldn't at all. Okay.
Let's roll the tape and my point being, when you see the tape, we're discussing the behavior of this particular fan. It is a fly ball and it is caught in foul territory by Mookie Betts of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And after he catches the ball, you'll see what ensues here, and it's kind of crazy. Let's take a peek at this right now.
Fly to right by Torres. Betts in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan, and they're going to say that it's an out and fan interference. So an out.
Look at that dip. Look at that dick. His buddy. Are we going to see the replay on this clip?
Yes.
Good. Thank you, Rob. This is so childish.
Back at Dodger Stadium.
Look at the guy on the left.
Yeah, Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan left.
He peels it open.
Pries the ball out of there.
And the other guy grabs his hand. Meanwhile, they're going, Yankees. Wow, hold on a second.
Why is he wearing a sliding mask?
He's got a sliding glove on. That
okay.
Dick has
Help
a
me out.
Sliding
what is a,
glove.
What is a sliding glove? I don't
now,
know.
It might be an oven mitt. Because it...
Do you think he works in food service?
Right, So a sliding glove looks like an oven mitt.
It looks like an oven mitt.
Yeah.
But it's got padding and some hard parts in there so that when you slide,
padding,
you can, your fingers won't get smashed by the cleats.
And it is, roll it one more time.
Okay.
This is just silly.
From the top.
This is
Mike.
This is just silliness. All right.
Fly to right by Torres.
Fly to right. Goes into foul territory. Mookie Betts makes the catch.
Fights with the fan.
The only problem with that catch.
And they're going to say yes. That it's an out.
Is the fan.
Oh, yeah.
They're not a million. They're a million fans that would back off and let him make that catch.
Yeah.
This fan decides that he wants to wrestle Mookie Betts, which is, by the way, any baseball fan. No, go ahead, you can roll more of it. I want to see the replay again.
All right.
Because I want to see the oven mitt.
So an out.
Well, it's off now.
One gone in the oven mitt.
And then this guy, like, arguing his case
in the great. That has ended up in fan interference in this series.
Okay, here we go.
Everybody's right.
Turn into a double. Back at Dodger Stadium.
Catch made.
And yeah,
glove grab.
His glove grab. His fan literally
peel it open.
Tries to take his glove off.
Reaching in, and now he's happy. Look, I got it.
Dude.
Is that green thing? Is that the sliding?
Oh, that's another guy. That's another guy to their right with the sliding.
I don't think it's a sliding mitt. I think it's an oven mitt.
An oven mitt? Well, it doesn't matter.
He wanted a little. Now, I think this is a Yankee fan problem because this happened to the Orioles with a home run back in the 90s.
Yeah, okay. I remember where the guy reached over and grabbed it, and they called it a home run, correct?
They did. Yes. Here's the video.
I'm up, he's stranded too. The Yankees have left 10 men on base, including the bases loaded in the seventh.
Shocker, Jeter hitting the home run.
And two runners in both the fifth and the sixth. In right field, Taraska going back to the track, to the wall. And what happens here? He contends that a fan reaches up and touches it. But Richie Garcia says no.
Yeah, Richie Garcia, one of the great dope umpires of baseball right there. Less egregious than the one we saw last night. Far less egregious.
Yeah, the guy just caught it at the Orioles game. This guy was peeling the glove open he was eating an orange.
And by the way, the play Josh is referring to, and Josh will agree with me on this one, is that fan reached down and grabbed it, and they let the home run stand, correct?
Yeah, he reached over the fence and
reached over the fence, and that was pre-replay, if I remember correctly.
That was pre-replay, real HD and slow motion video. So, yeah.
Did you have any of that at your game last night, Mike?
No, we didn't. We had a scorekeeper. We had an electronic scoreboard.
Oh, that's fun?
It's fun when they do it.
Yeah, that's how ours are, too.
I had to ask the umpire like 9 times what the count was because, you know, I kind of rely on that scoreboard for the count.
Yeah.
You know, and every time I look over, there's a guy over there that's going like this.
Yeah, he's having a good time. He was like my spotter at the football game, Mike, that was so busy enjoying the game that he didn't do what he was there to do.
So it was 5-0 last night.
That's awesome.
And then home to watch the Yankees thump on the Dodgers. And another game at Yankee Stadium tonight, correct? Is there one more tonight?
Yep. Yeah, tonight would be, 2 in L.A., 3 in New York.
Yep.
So then this would be the last one in New York, and then they would go back to L.A.
6-7
in house.
LA.
It's the house that Ruth built, Yankee Stadium.
No, technically it's not.
Why not?
It's a new stadium.
Yeah, but they still call it that, don't they?
No.
I don't think so.
What if you're really old, do you call it that?
Well, then
no, because
the
original Yankee Stadium is a parking lot now.
Oh, okay. Well, then they never play ball in the parking lot?
This is the house built for Aaron Judge.
Oh, okay, very good. Well, that's a new nickname.
Batting 140, by the way.
And real short fences, so you can hit home runs in Yankee Stadium that aren't home runs anywhere else.
Okay. So I didn't stick with it, Josh. I did not watch the game after that much. And so did they end up booting that guy? Was that guy
removed
out?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
He was.
Because of, he had his hands all over that glove.
Mm-hmm.
So forget trying to get the ball. He was grabbing the player.
It was so funny, but not really funny. I was pissed.
But the Yankees did give him MVP, Mike.
The Yankees would give him MVP.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets to throw out the first pitch tonight.
Hey, duh.
And so that fan is arguing next to his buddy. I have no idea what he's arguing. It was on our side of the line.
Offside.
The rule is you don't interfere with play, even if it's in the stands. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yep.
It's just not done. But I mean, you certainly don't let the guy make a catch and then grab his glove. It could have broken his wrist, you know. And
it's going to mean extending those nets another 20 feet.
God, I hope not. One of the last things I want to see.
I hate the Nets.
The Nets are the
inevitable.
Worst. Yeah, because people are idiots.
Yeah,
and people don't pay attention.
They don't pay attention. They play on their phones, and then they want to sue when they get hit with the ball.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the people that get hit with the ball are either small children or old ladies that aren't paying attention to the
game.
I have a fear
of being hit by a ball when I'm at a ball game like that. I don't like it. I don't like the notion of being cracked in the nose with a baseball. I've been to enough baseball games as a spectator that it is something that concerns me if I'm in the line. Yeah, I don't want to be hit by a ball.
Are you just opening your mouth and seeing what comes out, or are you really legitimately?
Mike, this is a concern of mine. This is a concern of mine.
You don't go to baseball games?
No, I go to baseball games, but I always try to stay aware.
When was the last baseball game you went to?
Major or minor league?
I'm just asking, when was the last baseball game?
Even Little League will count.
I think it was a Nats game 3 years ago.
Okay. All right. Three years ago.
I've been to a baseball game.
I've been to a baseball game with you.
That's true. A couple, to be honest.
What was the minor league Sea Dogs?
Yeah, that was
Portland
one of my favorite
Sea Dogs
things.
And Rob put on one of the great Rob shows.
I hadn't even been drinking because it was morning.
What was the song that
came on? Caroline.
Sweet Caroline, they played it like they do at Fenway. Right. They played it at the minor league ballpark in Portland, Maine, and Rob robustly tackled the tune.
Yes.
at the top of his lungs. And we were sitting there. And Rob also like befriended these two women in the stands.
Not bad to look at.
And was just
Mike, the thing was we were coming home from breakfast. It was a Sunday, and there was a
Becky's
game
Becky's Diner.
Yeah, at the Sea Dog International's stadium. And you said, go see if you can get tickets. Go see if it's a sellout. I'll go as
didn't
high
we
as
drive,
like,
didn't I drive by and I had you jump out to see if tickets
were
available? Yeah,
and you said I'll go as high as $25 a ticket. And I got tickets.
$7?
$4
for good seats.
Right.
We had great seats. Oh, we were right down the third base line. They were fantastic seats.
I was
we
having
a
such
time.
A good time, Mike, and it was like this.
Touching me, touching you, sweet Caroline. It's a perfect recreation. Good times never seem so good. So good, so good, so good. I've been inclined. All right, we get it. That's awesome. That's exactly what it was like. But it was better. It was even louder, and it was spectacular.
Well, I don't want to wake the dead here.
Oh, my God. Yes, good time. So, I know you've been to baseball. I didn't know you were afraid of getting clocked with a base. Here's the issue I have. It's the visual. Looking through a fence, looking through a net, looking through anything that obscures your vision makes it very, very challenging. And in the old days, which are like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. In the old days, when I was super into spring training baseball down here and I had season tickets, because they were so much cheaper than regular game tickets. And I brought the whole family when Michael was super little and Carla would, get a little spruced up to go to the game. And we have one season there without the fence behind the dugout. Well, we got baseball after baseball after baseball. And because we had a cute little kid and I had a cute little wife and they would shower us with baseball.
To be fair,
I would wear my shortest pants.
And you have a wonderful voice. And we learned yesterday you have great calves.
Yes. I would show my calves to the players and they'd toss me a ball. You know. And by the way, my history with baseballs goes all the way back to when I was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. And the McCabes, Mr. McCabe and his son and my dad and me, we went up to Fenway. And I wish I had a baseball to demonstrate here. I'll hold up a mouse like it's the baseball. And I will say, so the guy comes out, the ball boy comes out of the California Angels dugout. And he looks at us and he goes, like, you want?
Yeah.
And we literally hurled ourselves over the seats to get down there, and he went into the dugout. He was just effing with us. I remember that. I remember
what
that
an
vividly.
Asshole.
Yeah, I was bummed. I was pissed.
Can't get away with that now. That guy would be put on blast on social media.
Yeah, in a
everyone
second.
Would complain him. Yeah.
It was something else. I want
you
to
should
talk
have
about...
written a letter, Mike, to Tex Ritter or who? No, Gene Autry.
Gene Autry, who was probably the owner at that particular time of the California Angels.
Dear cowboy.
Cowboy. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? Is that his?
What a zero talent.
What's his other one, too? He has one
more.
No,
he had Frosty the Snowman.
Frosty the Snowman.
And then
I'm
Tumbling
a
Tumbleweeds.
That's yeah. back when if you were
Here comes Santa Claus.
If you were a movie or television star or a like cowboy singer and you got any kind of national notoriety, you would go out to California, invest in real estate, mm-hmm. and become a billionaire. And
yeah.
that's what happened with Gene Autry. So I want to talk about early voting. Yesterday, if you saw, I posted on there
yes.
my cool little presidential seal voting sticker that I got. Here's how it started. I had mentioned to you guys that I was going to beat feed out of
right.
the studio and get right to it. They open up at 10 o'clock, and closest one to mine is my house. My domicile is the rec center. And as I'm pulling into the rec center, I'm already getting that feeling of dread. First of all, Josh had hit me to the fact that they've got long lines mm-hmm. in the state of Florida.
Yeah. I saw people carrying chairs when
yeah, I... Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
But that's common in Florida, isn't it?
Not for voting.
Just
no.
to carry chairs around? No.
I believe, if I am not mistaken, and don't hold me to this because I am not a political pundit, but I believe they have... they have eliminated multiple voting locations
yeah.
In the state.
It's early voting is always limited, and it's smaller numbers.
Well, I read
regular.
Have they
local
done the
paper,
same
Mike?
Thing with regular voting day?
No, regular voting is still a bunch of places.
Okay,
but I think they didn't anticipate how much people were going to be early voting this year.
Okay. All right. Yes, Rob?
The two places that I know they closed this year that were open for the last presidential election was the pet store that you get your rats at, and also...
You know when he's really eager to interrupt Josh is when he's got a shtick line that he wants to deliver. He will steamroll through it together. Yes, what's the other place they have?
The place where we got the breakfast burritos. That gas station was a hot polling place last time.
Taco Valdez.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, it's good. I like that place.
Is that the place that was like down the road and you what? Yeah, you went into the right next to where the cashier was.
It looks like
a gas
station, but it's a full functioning restaurant that served one of the best burritos ever. So
awesome. I pull in to the rec center and I see the cars coming. I'm like, oh boy. And then all I'm waiting for is to check out the line. And mm-hmm. I do a drive through the parking lot, and I'm guessing by the looks of it, minimum hour and a half, absolute minimum hour. And I'm you know, another day I've made. Now the cool thing is normally those people that stand outside the voting area that represent the parties,
yeah.
And the candidates, they have to be a certain distance away from the polling place,
yeah.
One of the dudes handed me a Democratic sample ballot. Mm-hmm. And then the other guy was, I think a Republican doing the same thing, or maybe he was associated. He
yeah,
didn't
probably.
Have anything on, so I'm not sure.
Right, because I took the Republican sample ballot. So it's probably doing the same thing.
Thanks for pointing that out. And then, we're a nation divided, ladies.
Yep, we got to keep the messages coming.
I understand. That's right. That's Josh's talking point. No, it's not.
When I went, last time they handed me a Democratic ballot from one guy, and the other guy handed me a burning cross, which I thought was nice.
Thank you. So the guy, I said, man, oh, man, I know there have to be other locations that probably aren't as intense as this. And I even when I was driving by the line of early voters, I really didn't get a feel for the type of voter, other than knowing that if you've got hour and a half lines in my very red county, I would only assume that there's enthusiasm for the candidate from the Republican Party. That's totally unofficial, and that's totally unscientific.
Yeah.
I would also point out that there are a lot of women in line.
Were you prepared to just bag it if the lines had
been
too long? You were going to do it regardless.
Absolutely not. Okay. I'll wait on the day. I would wait on Election Day next Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I pull up, and I'm like, oh, this guy might know. And I said, are there any other polling places where the lines might be a little easier to deal with? And the guy says, go down to Lakes Regional Library. I hear that that's not nearly what this one is. Hmm. And so I was off about 23 minutes all the way down to Lakes Regional, and there it was. I went from what would have been maybe 2 hours to 15 minutes.
Oh, that's great.
And here's the weird thing. I acquired this. I just bought this online, and this was for service dogs for soldiers with PTSD.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned it yesterday, just briefly. Yeah.
And lo and behold, I'm in line, and in back of me is a guy that's got a service dog, and he's a veteran. And he's got it is called a mobility service dog. He has back troubles from a back injury. I'm not sure whether it was sustained in service or not, but he got the thing taken care of through one of these organizations because, you know, it's not cheap to get a really quality dog. And so it just was weird having that. And one of the things that struck me is up until the very end, nobody was discussing politics. Everybody was respecting everybody else. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, you know, this is how it should be. Everybody exercising their right to vote. And will I be crushingly disappointed? Will the other team be disappointed if their candidate wins or loses? Yes, absolutely. But at the same time, it was just this unspoken respect rule that you weren't going to get into it until
oh no, the word
very,
until? Yes.
Right before, because they get you in line, and then they herd you up to the door, and then you wait at the outside door, and then you wait at the inside door, and I'm trying to think.
How many proctors were, like, handling your ID and check-in? Just one person? Or
Well, the room is filled with a bunch of people that are doing it. But as far as the wranglers, there's one at the front door. There's a guy who was nice enough to come by and tell us how long the wait was. And then there was a lady at the inside door who funneled you over to the people that take your name. And I forgot what the guy said, but he was an old man. He was on a walker. And I'm trying to remember, what did he say that I could construe as political? I don't even know. It was mild, but it knew, but it identified immediately what team he was on, and it fits the bill for the county I live in. It really does. And at that particular point, I got my little Harris bracelet here that I donated to the campaign, and I found myself going do
just
like
covering
didn't want to. I didn't want to get the whole time I'm talking to people, I'm not. You know, I think if I wanted to flaunt it, I'd be wearing a hat or something like that. I like the subtlety of this, and you know, I even wore it at the baseball game. Nobody, this is me. This is me communicating with me. I'm not out there to do anything but feel like I'm supporting the candidate.
I understand.
Of my
I understand the feeling. It's just, sometimes it is just. I mean,
God,
not
I'm trying to remember what
you.
The dude said. I'm trying to remember what he said. It was something about. immigrants, though. Oh, that's right.
Okay.
He said Puerto Rico is an island of garbage.
No,
he
didn't. That was the comedian.
That.
Yeah,
he didn't say that.
Silly.
Or the president.
Or
who said Trump supporters are garbage.
Yes.
There's the. We'll get if nothing, we get our equivalency on this show, ladies and gentlemen. Josh, you're going to keep getting that hate mail. So am I.
Oh, I know. I got one this morning. It's
you did.
Good.
Was it as pointed as the last one you got?
No. It was more of a convince me to switch sides.
Are you going to be happy?
Did it work?
A little late.
You already voted?
Yes. And I was looking. 5 million people have voted so far in the state of Florida.
Record breaking.
There are just under 14 million registered voters.
Right.
So we're more than a third there.
Wow.
We'll see what happens. That's it's
going to
be
that's
interesting.
Astounding.
We'll see. Are you going to be relieved? Are you feeling like a sense of relief when this is all over?
I can't wait till this is over.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of dread of after this. and the months until January for either side. And
do you have plans, Josh? This is maybe forward. I know the holidays are coming up. Do you have plans for the 6th of January?
It's a little cold up north.
Yeah, you can stay at my house if you want. Here. You can hang here if you like.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I'll join you. Yeah, we can go together.
These are interesting times, and all I can tell you is that I believe that they are heading for record-setting voting totals, which is people getting involved in the process, and win, lose, draw, can't really complain about that. And I, it's funny that you say a sense of dread. I feel a sense of nervous anticipation.
Yep.
And I have I think both teams have absolutely no idea whether their person is going to win or not. I really believe that.
No, I agree. I think it could go either way in any swing. I made a mistake last night when watching the World Series.
What's that?
Because, you know, I use this TV service that pulls in stations from all across the country.
Yes.
So I just went to
Vinny's Mafia TV service.
So I just went to the first Fox station was watching, and I realized every commercial break I'm getting four political ads.
Yep. Yes.
And it's constant ads. And then I realized
are you getting
Detroit station.
Are you getting the ads down here that I wonder if Josh is getting the same ones I am? We're inundated with the marijuana ads and the abortion ads.
Yeah, well, because those are the two things on our state ballot.
Yeah, that's the state ballot. And,
a lot of those. But because I chose a Detroit station without thinking, and, you know, Michigan's one of those toss-up swing states, I got a ton of presidential ads and ads I've never seen before hating the other candidate. It was fun.
What's big in the DC, the Delmarva mic up here is
what's that?
The candidates that have stolen valor of some sort, but not really stolen valor.
Okay.
There's one guy that's opposing another fellow. I won't even name names, but it's for Congress. And he says, so and so says he was a volunteer firefighter, but he didn't tell the entire story. He was let go for being unreliable. And then they put up in quotes and loafing.
Loafing. That's funny. That's sad. When your only claim to fame is volunteer firefighter and you got canned.
For loafing. Yeah.
For loafing on the job.
It was one of those great ads where they show like the actual dismissal papers out of focus, and then the word loafing comes off in quotation marks. It's like, this man is loafing.
See, that sounds like a spoof of a political ad.
Loafing, like we made loafing ads on
for
the
each
job
other or something. Yeah.
The tip would be that if you are early voting and you got one error, at least in our state. And Josh will back me up on this. In our state, you can early vote anywhere. Right. I know on voting on election day, it's usually go to your particular precinct, and that's where you cast your vote. When it's early voting, at least in our area, you can go anywhere. I don't know if that's nationwide or not.
And any of the assigned like six locations in your county.
The locations that are assigned
to Buc-ee's
voting.
And just vote.
Be a lot better.
But you can go and get some great caramel almonds. Wonderful.
You know, since you brought up food, I can make a segue here and we can stop talking about early voting and talk about once again, because I want to mention that 0.5 pound down today. So the fact that I ate
half
this,
a pound. That's great.
The fact that I ate this did not throw me off the track, but I did have a lunch that I normally do not eat because it's not good for you. You can eat. I just want to reiterate that when you're talking burgers, this is a chain that doesn't come up on a regular basis. But I have raved about their cheeseburger before, and I will rave about it again. I would like to salute the Dairy Queen company, Mr. Dairy and Mr.
Really?
Queen. Yes.
I thought you were going to Culver's. I thought this was definitely going to be a Culver's show.
Culver, you know what Culver's problem is? Let me tell you what Culver's problem is.
I've never been, so I want to hear.
They're slow, and it's a culture of slow. It's a culture of slow where even if they were slinging the burgers back there, they'd still make you drive up to the the end of the line and wait. It's a culture of slow.
And it's designed to be slow by the process of, here's your sticker, let's put this on your put this on your mirror, drive out further, we'll forget about you and eventually bring your food.
And they all fry the burgers, so don't make that claim.
I think that there is a part of America that enjoys the inconvenience of a system like Culver's. Like, they just say, this is going to be worth it, because they say, oh, this is going to be great because we're waiting for it. We've got to move up here and wait for it.
I disagree. No.
No, you don't think there's people that dig that?
Fast food. They want to put it in their pie hole as soon as they can. They want to just stuff it down their gullets.
And that's why Chick-fil-A always has the huge long lines, but I can get through it faster than three cars at Culver's.
Because they have taken that system and they had to compensate for, well, at least where I live, 800 people at 2:30 in the afternoon wanting to get their fried chicken sandwich on, and you know, you got to give them a tip of the cap. But the good thing, my DQ on the way home yesterday after voting with my little presidential voting sticker is right next to a Mickey D's, and I said to myself, I don't want to get poisoned today. So I think what a perfect opportunity to go to the Dairy Queen. And
see,
the Dairy
that's
Queen,
where you're wrong, Mike. No. I go to McDonald's and say, I'll have a Big Mac with extra onions.
Extra E. coli onions,
yeah,
please.
I'm Danger Boy. Bring it.
Please do that. And right next door, not nearly the traffic going into the Creatures of Habit, the Mickey D's. And man, oh man, what a cheeseburger it was. Just put together, had a little griddle taste to it where you could taste the heat, not the meat. And I kind of like that charbroiled flavor that I got from that. Solid French fry delivery and a wonderful
any
fountain
sauce?
DC. It was it really, and I did not get any of the ice cream confections.
Oh, that's
but it was tempting because they're home of the is it the
blizzard?
Yeah. The blizzard
that they serve upside down because it's so thick.
Is Tasty Freeze a thing anymore, or are they out of business?
I haven't seen a Tasty Freeze in forever.
They used to be on the way up to. I remember there was one in Wilmington, Delaware, that I used to stop at when I was making.
That was owned. Yeah, that one was owned by the Biden family, and it was a good one.
Apparently, they still are around.
Come on, you want a Heath bar? You want a Butterfinger? Come on.
Guess what? And
of course,
thing.
I've stolen Dana Carvey's now impression of.
Well, you
Joe
know,
Biden.
He was the one. He was the first one to nail it. He deserves
number one. We take the cup, we turn it upside down. Come on, so you can tell it's it's sticky.
Hey, Mr. Biden. You know? Yeah. Mr. Biden, can I get a Dilly bar? Can I get a Dilly bar?
A Dilly bar, a dip it in chocolate. Come on. It's right there. You can do it. I used to eat them in Scranton. folks, if you're going to have a Dilly bar, get your Dilly bar in Wilmington, Delaware. There's no better place to. And then he does the move with the finger on the nose.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Dana Carvey, I salute you and your ability to do impressions. But just wanted to give them a shout out because
there are four Tasty Freeze locations left in the country.
Really? Only four? Do you know where they are?
I have them right here. Anchorage, Alaska.
Anchorage, Alaska. Anchorage, Alaska. That's not going to be convenient.
Spring Valley, Illinois.
Okay, Illinois.
Illinois.
Illinois, Josh. Come on, Josh. Illinois, for Christ's sake.
Harvey, North Dakota.
Oh,
Harvey, North
Dakota. That's the good one, yeah.
And Milton, Florida.
Milton, Florida.
Yes. And is that, I think that's in the panhandle, according to the
No, it's a brand new town incorporated after the hurricane.
It's all the stuff that washed away from the other towns.
There's really, that is so widespread from Alaska down to Florida. Where is Milton, Florida? Why do I know Milton?
According to our chat room, it's in the panhandle.
Really?
So I guess up north and.
Oh, because they probably were talking about it during Hurricane Milton, maybe. I'm not sure about that. But really, for a getting back to Dairy Queen, which is really, let's be honest, mop the floor with Tasty Freeze.
They really are destroying. What kind of fries do they serve? Are they crinkle cut? Straight?
They're straight.
Straight cut?
They're straight fries.
Shoestring potatoes. And also, any sauce of any sort on the burger. How is it dressed?
You know, it's interesting because I tore into it so quickly. And I am a minimalist. when it comes to a hamburger. I know not in the majority here. I don't care for a lot of vegetables on my burger. If you can throw a pickle on, I'm good with that. I don't mind a little pickle here.
Tomato.
None. Get that. Get that waxy, watery piece of crap off
of my burger.
If it's a good
tomato, you're buying the wrong tomatoes.
Well, now, how often at a fast food joint do you get a real beefsteak, delicious sliced tomato?
I was talking in real life, mostly. I don't know that I would ever get a tomato in a fast food.
It's just hard. It's hard. Yeah. So if you put that in, and by the way,
I had two patties.
So it was technically a double cheeseburger. Mm-hmm. And salute. This is the second time I've raved about the Dairy Queen cheeseburger. Please get back to me if you find this to be the case. I think it's really, really good.
Mike, I think you have earned the title of Dairy Queen.
What is the name? And is there a name for it? Is it other than just the cheeseburger?
Double cheeseburger.
The double cheeseburger. It's just straight ahead. Yeah, you get what you get, ladies and gentlemen.
So it's like a cheeseburger, but twice as much. So they call it double.
By the way, special leading up to Election Day, buy a double cheeseburger, get a free service dog.
Really?
That I think is a fantastic promotion, and you also get a free box of hefty garbage bags, and all proceeds go to support Puerto Rico.
It's really hard to collect through the drive-through window.
I'm trying to do callbacks, and I'm done doing that. We're going to take a break right now. Lots on the show today. Today, because we are ramping up to Halloween.
Oh, it's very scary.
Halloween. We will be entering into the realm of true ghost stories and experiences we've all had, and I think everybody's had a few of them that might be considered occult. We'll be right back, everybody. As you set resolutions for 2025, consider how learning a new language can enrich your life, whether through travel, career advancement, or cultural appreciation. Learning a new language can help you connect with others and explore new cultures. Here's a great idea. Learn a language as a fulfilling New Year's resolution. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users. They offer 25 languages like Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. Plus, Rosetta Stone has no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention. Rosetta Stone is also an amazing value. This is a lifetime membership. You can keep learning from now until forever. Start the new year off with a resolution you can reach. Today, Mike O'Mara Show listeners can take advantage of this New Year's special of Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today and do it right now.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and t-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/add-large and use code ADDLARGE for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/add-large and use code ADDLARGE at checkout.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What kind of night is it? A single, double, triple, or a quad? Mm. I'm not talking about alcohol, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about souls, yes. Out of office, microdosed, THC gummies. There they are right there. That's what they look like. All right?
Let me draw.
Let me see if I can use my camera.
And, are you going to zoom in?
Oh, no, that's the wrong
way.
That's
good. That's good.
That's the wrong
way. Okay, that's good. That's the wall.
Hold on, let me do it. I don't know. I'm trying right now. Oh, there they are. All right.
Oh, that's better, Mike. There you go. Is that the blue raspberry?
That's Blue Raspberry
Rob Spielman. Oh, it's so good. I love those.
THC gummies. Do you know that you can buy hemp-derived THC products legally anywhere in the U.S. through our partner, Soul? Soul's new out-of-office gummies are perfectly microdosed with hemp-derived THC. Turn it the right way. Get it back on camera, old man. Hemp-derived THC and CBD to give any day that chilling on the beach vibe. I had them last week and slept like an absolute baby. Out-of-office gummies give you that warm, fuzzy, euphoric microdose feeling without sending you to the moon, baby. You can go for a jog, watch your favorite TV show, or head out to a party, or try to get your camera to focus in on it. There it is.
There it is.
Yeah. Head out to a party. Whatever they taste amazing, and their effect is wondrous. But microdoses of THC keep me feeling good without the anxious thoughts. And Soul can help with sleeplessness, anxiety, focus, and pain, ladies and gentlemen. All those good things. So really, get to it, everybody. This holiday season, give the gift of Soul. Head to GetSoul, GetSoul.com, and use code TMOS for 30% off your order. That's 30% off your order using the code TMOS. One last time, GetSoul.com and code TMOS. I'm such an idiot. For 30% off. Take it away.
Okay, a little headroom there, Mike.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You know, I find when I take a dose of Soul in the evening, Mike, I find shows funnier. I laugh out loud at things, and that's the truth.
Hi, everybody.
And this is Mike from the forehead up. Mike, you were played the neighbor on Home Improvement, didn't you?
Hey, Tim, Tim Allen.
Tim Taylor.
Tim Taylor in the show. Hey, what are you doing over there? I'd like
that would
to
be a good shot, Mike, if you had a stovepipe hat. Do you have your circus hat there? Because you can fit it in the shot. That's
Hi,
just
everybody. There you go. Hold it. Let me see if I can put it down.
A little bit, there little bit, little
okay.
bit.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Zoom in.
Yeah. No, too much.
There it is. There. Hi, everybody.
Hi, I'm early voting. What is that, a circus dog?
This is making it. I never play with this thing. Wobble, wobble. Look at pick. Pick.
I think it's great. You should get that pierced. Your neck.
All right. Hold on. Yeah. Click up.
This is a good video day, as they say.
Oh, yeah. We do the best we can on the Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it's so close. Yeah. That's it. Don't touch it.
Is that good?
That's right perfect. There. I love it.
Actress Terry Garr, very sad, died yesterday after a long battle with MS. She was 79 years old. In so many iconic movies, Young Frankenstein, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Mr. Mom, so many movies that were so funny. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, After Hours, The Player, Dumb and Dumber, just to name a few. She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for 1982's Tootsie.
Yeah.
She also played Phoebe's biological mother on Friends. Terry got her start as a background dancer in Elvis movies like Viva Las Vegas, Kissin' Cousins in the 1960s. Her final role before MS forced her into retirement was the TV series How to Marry a Billionaire in 2011. Terry's Young Frankenstein director, and I think we probably reference her from that movie more than any other.
Yeah, I think so.
Mel Brooks tweeted, quote, "So very sorry to hear about Terry Garr's passing. She was so talented, so funny. Her humor and lively spirit made Young Frankenstein, made the set a pleasure to work on. Her German accent, I laugh even hearing it, had us all in stitches. She will be greatly missed." Terry Garr. Yeah.
I've spotted her in Elvis movies before, but I think her most notable early appearance, Mike, and this is available, I believe you can get the whole thing on YouTube now. It's called The Tammy Show. And it's a TAMI, the Teenage Music International show.
Yeah.
She was a literal go-go dancer on this, and it's a great movie. It's got amazing artists on it. But I want to play you a little of Chuck Berry, and behind him, you can see the blonde Terry Garr giving it her all as a go-go dancer. This is great. Okay, those are her feet immediately to his. Now you can see her third from the left. She's blonde. And she is dancing, dancing. Look at her.
Yeah.
I like
her. Is she
her.
On the individual riser on the
no,
left?
No, she's the one third from the left. Or third from the right, I suppose.
Third from the right.
Yeah. And you can
right
see
there.
Her immediately. Yeah, immediately over his shoulder. And she's in an oversized sweatshirt. I love her. And also,
they're just people that are naturally funny and just have that way about them. And she was beautiful, too. So the combination works so well, especially Young Frankenstein. There's nobody you put in that role better than Terry Garr
on
that, really.
On Letterman, she was a legendary guest. Dave obviously had the hots for her, and it always made for great television. This goes back to 1985. I remember this episode because this was Dave when he was on NBC after Carson.
These are great air conditioning clips, Rob. I love these. These are really good.
The air conditioning broke in the studio. And as you know, Letterman needs to have his studio ice cold. So game day decision, they did the entire show from Dave's office. And Paul had like a little Casio keyboard. The guests were Richard Lewis and Terry Garr.
Oh, wow.
And what led up to this, Mike, is they're in Dave's dressing room. Over the final credits, he talks Terry Garr into taking a shower in his dressing room. But it's not sexual because the entire crew is up there. But watch, this is great.
Episode of The Fugitive Guy, and Ed Begley Jr. will be here tomorrow. And how much time do we have? Is she in there? Okay, is it all right to go in? Go ahead, continue playing.
So he's got an accordion player.
Okay.
Going into his bathroom, and there she is.
Oh, my God. Whoa. Now just go in there, and you've got your...
Come on,
go in there, and...
And the rolling credits over.
Get all wet, but you have your hose on.
I know, but I can't take them off with the tin cameras in here.
All right. We'll turn around, Carl. Turn around. Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. She's,
no.
While she's slipping into the shower, we'll... All right, go ahead.
Wait a minute. Okay.
All right. Are you all set? Okay, here we go. Are we out of time? Is that... Oh, we got 30 seconds. All right, we got 30 seconds, Terry. Go ahead. Take a shower.
I can't. I don't have my... This isn't working out.
It's working beautifully.
No, it isn't.
Just turn on the shower.
Oh,
no,
man.
No, go ahead. Come on, 5 seconds. Just turn. Yeah!
I hate you!
Oh, you know what? Why? It's weird. You never know, right? Never know how a celebrity passing is going to affect you. As soon as I saw her face, I just feel so sad about that.
I do too.
I really, really do. She gave us so many cool moments, and that's such a beautifully obscure moment. I've never seen that.
I remember when it aired. And also, I will say this. I said it yesterday. I'm not a tremendous fan of the show Friends. I watched it because everyone did, but I didn't think it was life-changing like so many. But her being cast as Phoebe's mom
perfection
was a stroke of brilliance.
Yep.
And it also, I think, introduced her to a new generation of fans.
Amen.
And I think
that's
one of the greatest things that can happen to an actress. So God bless her and rest in peace.
I'm glad we were able to do that and talk about Terry Garr. 50 Cent claims he was offered $3 million to play Donald Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden last weekend, but he turned it down. He said, quote, "I'm afraid about politics. You understand? I do not like no part about them. It's because when you do get involved in it, no matter how you feel, someone passionately disagrees with you." I think Josh Soroka and I would both be on the receiving end of that. That is the formula for the confusion that sent Kanye to Japan. He said something about both of those things, and now he can only go to Japan. I was not aware that Kanye can only perform in Japan. I think Kanye's had concerts here, has he not?
But Kanye has said more than one thing.
Oh, yes. Kanye, planted his feet squarely on one team. The Trump campaign denies that 50 was offered $3 million to perform. So you'll have to do your own digging if
Josh,
you want to.
Josh, how much do they offer you to perform at the rally?
50 Cent.
That's ironic, no?
Rob Spiewak, I have a question for you.
Shoot.
The new Joker movie. It's Joker... Folie à deux. Joker, Folie à deux. We can no longer say that nobody liked it because Quentin Tarantino loved it.
Oh, well, that's a feather in their cap.
This is his quote. I'm just
Nihil. Like weird stuff.
What's that? What did I
miss? Normally doesn't like weird movies.
This is true. He said, "I'm just nihilistic enough to enjoy a movie that doesn't quite work as a movie." And that's a big, giant mess to some degree. I didn't find it an intellectual exercise. I really got caught up into it. I really liked the musical sequences. I thought the more banal the songs were, the better they were. He also added that director Todd Phillips is the Joker. Here's the quote. "The Joker directed the movie. The entire concept, even him spending the studio's money, he's spending it like the Joker would spend it, right?
Yeah, I
suppose. Quentin Tarantino's funny. His big surprise gift, the Jack in the Box, when he offers you his hand for a handshake and you get a buzzer with 10,000 volts shooting you. It's the comic book geeks. He's saying, F you to all of them.
I like
that.
That's
just funny. Tarantino even thinks Joaquin Phoenix's acting was, quote, one of the best performances I've ever seen in my life. I like Quentin Tarantino's opinions, and I might just check this movie out because of that. I will
see it when it's free on television.
Yeah,
I'm not going to give a nickel towards it. But you know what? I'm really taken with the idea of musical sequences. I like musicals.
Yeah, and I'd like to see what it's all about.
I think it would be worthwhile, and I like Lady Gaga, too. So
Gaga is fantastic. The website The Conversation, I'm not familiar with it, but they did a big article on how too much candy can wreck your microbiome. I wish Carla was here. She'd be able to speak to this much more effectively than I am. That's right. Gut health. You're right.
Yeah.
Messing with too much candy can cause indigestion and weaken your immune system. I have to say this regarding the medication that I'm on, that I have been on. Candy is a different world for me now. It really is. In the pre-weight loss meds, Halloween time, I'd go out of my mind. Okay. I would binge on it. I would be on Halloween night. I wouldn't stop, and it would. Now I have one little piece of candy, and it's first of all, it doesn't taste the same to me. I don't know whether that's the meds or not. I really don't. I'm just giving you my own COVID personal experience, but it really is different. But they're saying candy, if you screw with it, it can mess up your gut health. Here is one way they suggest dealing with it. Mm-hmm. After you polish off your kid's candy stash, go eat a bunch of sauerkraut.
Ah.
It can help rebalance your microbiome because it's one of the four Fs. Fiber, phytochemicals, unsaturated fats, and fermented foods.
Yeah.
So that's what they say.
Didn't help them win the war, Mike. It did not help them win the war, but it is great for your gut.
This is true. The Germans, Rob's referencing right there, for all of you that don't know your world history. Fiber and unsaturated fats, we know what they are. Phytochemicals are basically just chemicals found in plants. Fermented foods like sauerkraut are important, too, because they help replenish that good bacteria that your gut needs to keep you healthy. If you're not a sauerkraut fan, don't feel like you have to choke it down. Other fermented foods include yogurt, kimchi, and kombucha.
I don't like kombucha.
I just don't like me the fermented foods. Don't care for
them. You don't eat sauerkraut at all?
I hate sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut on a hot dog? Sauerkraut with pork roast? Oh my God, I love sauerkraut.
Get with my wife. Go to the sauerkraut restaurant in Vegas because you know what? Really, I didn't mean get with my wife ass.
Wayne Newton's House of Kraut. Is that still there?
Go check it out. Go have a dog with Kraut. The doorbell camera company Ring is doing a contest for Halloween called The Great Ghost Search. Who could fake this? Undeniable footage of a ghost can get you a cool $100,000. Gee, I can hear Deal Maryland right now staging their ghost stories.
Deal.
They announced it last month. You have until November 1st to submit. It's similar to the Out of This World contest they did last year. They were looking for legit footage of aliens at that time. Nobody had any. If no one gets a real ghost on camera, the $100,000 will go to whatever video their judges like the best. Unique and entertaining clips will have a big leg up. The two main rules are videos have to be 30 seconds or less because we have a short attention span. And the footage must be filmed on a Ring device. So if you've got undeniable footage of a ghost, but it was filmed on your Nest camera, delete it. Nobody cares. And I'm looking forward to the fakes.
Oh,
I think they ought to really
they
ought to curate the fakes and send those out to everybody. I think that
you
would
know
be
what
fun.
A good contest would be. Nest should do best fake ghost.
Best fake ghost,
and that would be ghost? That'd be a much more interesting contest, I think.
Let me ask. Hold on. Let me say, William Castle.
Yes.
How do you feel about
this?
It?
Is the fright break?
Oh, scary!
To allow anyone to leave this theater.
Theater.
Who is too frightened to see the end of the picture?
That's Mike. You have to go sit in Coward's Corner.
Picture. Come in, William Castle. Finally, bald-faced liars, and Josh, have these pictures ready. They are more likely to be adulterers. compared to regular dudes. Are you a bald man with a big nose in your 40s? I know I'm speaking to some of our audience out there.
Yeah, we'll see a lot of them in Vegas.
You're more likely to cheat on your partner, according to an AI-generated profile of what a typical male philanderer looks like. Let's put up the picture of the AI philanderer.
Wow, he is dreamy. Yeah.
How are you? There he is, the digital betting site. Then fed the results to an AI-powered image generator to create a photo fit. I remember back in the day when I would be driving down to Ocean City, yes. I would stop by the Whitehall Inn to get a photo fit and then enjoy some of Whitehall's famous fruit fritters.
We miss the Whitehall Inn, the WH.
They have a female counterpart as well. Let's take a look at her.
Okay.
She's in her early 50s and sports dark hair with a small nose and medium-sized pout. That's not early 50s.
Is that
early 50s to you boys? Do you think that's early 50s?
Yeah, I can see that. I'm early 50s.
God, I'm getting old with
hair dye.
Yeah,
I am getting so old. She's beautiful, by the way.
What is their fascination with noses?
I don't know, but that's a beautiful nose.
That's a perfect nose.
That's a striking woman, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right there. Both male and female cheaters were depicted as having slim builds and boasting staring eyes. So there's that.
I'd let her stare at me.
Yeah, and I'm just surprised. Where's the Jim Amato picture? We have to take a break.
His nose, Mike. Back. Jim's nose is perfect. And speaking of which, we'll hear from him now in a promo.
Very good. Very excited. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we have candy trivia from Mr. Rob Spiewak, ladies and gents.
We are 1 week away from Vegas, baby, and look at you, sitting there on the fence. You only live once, and if you haven't purchased a ticket yet, you'll regret it six ways to Sunday.
Yes, you will.
Think of all you'll miss out on. The Blackjack Tournament on November 8th. The live show on the Citrus Pool Deck November 9th. Having brunch with the Americhicks on Saturday. A chance to catch a fleeting glimpse of Mike in the lobby of the hotel.
Seeing Big Dirk energy being deployed in real time.
Spreading love with Jolene.
Eating pancakes with Tony Lamb.
Having Dennis Murphy as your wingman.
And most of all, making fantastic memories with your TMOS family. Don't miss out. Buy a ticket now. You know you want to. Just go to the store at MikeOMaraShow.com and treat yourself to a weekend you'll never forget.
You know, folks, we talk about all the supporters. We are a family, and it's a wonderful group of supporters. Not only Dirk Vastrick, but people like Steve Kelsey, and most recently Doug Carlson, who has stepped up to help us regarding the bracelets for the open bar. We are raising the open bar bracelet money, and people are responding to that. Josh, what am I leaving out? I want to make sure we get everything there. We got your lanyards that are there for Las Vegas.
Are ready to go.
Everybody's going to get their lanyard so you can identify yourself over the weekend, and most importantly for me, so I can walk up and go, "Hi, Josh." So I'll see the name from everybody. But we still have the all open bar bracelets on our website. And please go and buy those. And if you know some people that you want to give them to, you know, buy one, buy two, buy 20. Doesn't matter to us.
Many
We'd love
want,
to do
yes.
that. Yeah. And Doug Carlson, you have really stepped up for that.
Attaboy.
With your hot sauce as well. Yes.
And I'm keeping track of who so we can thank everyone who buys these wristbands.
Wonderful. We appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, listen, how would you like to be the most interesting person at the Halloween party? Forget your costume and just show up with a bottle of wine from an independent winemaker with a truly unique story. Fabulous. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines, a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines. Now, when we say that, I think we should really point out it's not boxed wine.
No, it's a case of wine.
So change that, please.
Okay, you got it.
If it's a box of wine, then Mouse is drinking it, Rudy Martsky's Mouse.
But anyway,
you get your wine for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. With our code, you can get six bottles for just $39.99. Naked Wines believes that great wine is an experience that helps you connect with your friends, your family, and your community over a shared bottle of vino. Turn off the noise of the outside world and uncork a bottle to celebrate the little joys in life. Plus, you can pause or cancel at any time. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to Naked Wines. Allstateinsurance.com/TMOS and put in our code, that's TMOS, for both the code and password. You'll get 6 bottles of wine, $39.99, shipping included, nakedwines.com/TMOS, code TMOS for 6 bottles of wine for $39.99. All right, Rob Spiewak, you've got some, we are winding down to Halloween, and I know you've got some candy trivia. I love talking about candy.
Now, Mike, who can take the sunrise? Cover it with a dream.
The Candyman can.
That's right. I think Kit Kat is one of your favorites, no?
Kit Kat.
Kit Kat bar from Hershey.
There are Kit Kats in our home for tomorrow night's festivities.
And what's the big marketing scheme of the Kit Kat? It's not a
give
scheme.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Well, they say piece in it. Those little, you know, it comes in four segments, right? The pieces. Because you can break them off and have an individual snack four times. What do you call the actual single piece of Kit Kat bar that you break off of the four?
The shaft.
It's not the shaft, Mike. Most people say piece because that's what's in the jingle.
Let me try again. Hold on. Josh, do you have a guess?
Yeah, I go with stick.
Oh, that's a good idea. The Kit Kat stick.
All right, hold on. Take your time. Take your time. Let me think. Right, not the shaft. Not the shaft.
She got the gold mine. I got the shaft.
Okay. Josh said stick. I'm going to add to it to get it right.
Okay.
Hit me with your rhythm stick.
That's according to the Kit Kat website, Mike, that is not correct.
All right.
I'll give you a hint.
Give me a hint. I love hints.
Okay. It is a derivation of a term used for cookies, actually.
A term used for cookies.
Think of a long, sort of oblong cookie.
The finger.
That's exactly right, Mike.
Yes!
Individual pieces of Kit Kats are called fingers.
Yay!
It was taken from lady fingers, which is a cookie, or also Vienna fingers, which are long, thin cookies. There you are.
Thank you.
So, Mike, if you see someone with a Kit Kat and you want a piece of it, tell them to give you the finger.
Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that finger.
Mike, in 1937, can you believe the Kit Kat has been around that long? 1937?
No, I would think it would be a modern candy.
I would, too. It was originally debuted in 1935. It was called Round Trees Chocolate Crisp.
And was it invented in Nazi Germany?
No, this was an American candy.
That was the mid-30s where all that crap started up, right?
Exactly. But just know that, and Mike, you're thinking of Fanta sodas. Fanta soda is a Nazi soda, but this is an American candy bar.
Fanta. Right.
Well,
Fanta.
I'm glad they changed the name.
You don't like Roundtree?
Kit Kat is a much better name.
Okay. Yeah, much better.
Kit Kat. Than chocolate wafer.
So they occasionally will use the word finger to describe it, but now mostly they just call it a piece. But originally, know that it was called the Kit Kat. And also, Nestle's website is more forthcoming about the name Kit Kat, explaining that it was derived from the nickname of a man named Christopher Catling, or Kit Kat, who started an 18th century Whig literary club. So you, by eating a Kit Kat, you're supporting the Whigs. How about that?
Kit Kat.
How do you feel about a Twix bar?
I can't stand Twix.
Now you
don't like Twix. Never like Twix.
If you look at it from, you know, just from a distance, it almost looks like it could be a competitor.
But the flavor, and it's the flavor of the chocolat. Mm-hmm. That's what does me in with the Twix.
Well, the problem with the Twix bar, Mike, I'm sorry, is it was introduced as the Raider bar, and it was released and debuted as the Raider bar, and it is a British candy bar. Maybe that's the problem. 1967.
No, there are plenty of great Cadbury. Isn't Cadbury? Cadbury's British.
But lots of people say that domestic Cadbury in the States is different than British Cadbury over there across the pond.
Think British, they know their way around candy. They like chocolate. They just boil meat.
So, Mike, in 1991, all across the world, they retired the name Raider Bar, and now everywhere in the world, it's called a Twix. But why would it be called Twix? How did they get that name?
Well, that sounds a little British, where it's just like, oh, I understand that Penelope is having a little romp with Jonathan Twix the bushes.
Mike, I'll give it to you. Because Twix, many people have interpreted
between.
This. It's a shortening version of betwixt or between.
There
and
it is.
And it's between a cookie and a candy bar.
I get candy.
Also, in the UK, there is a rumor that it claims Twix is a portmanteau. Not a clumsy portmanteau, but a portmanteau of the words twin and biscuits.
I have a Klingon betwixt my cheeks. Here you go. Hello.
The official word from the makers of Twix, Mike, it's short for twin sticks.
Twix. Oh, thanks so much, Agatha, for this lovely, lovely foot rub. Would you spend a little more attention betwixt the toes?
Would you like a finger of a candy bar?
Okay, I'm going to enjoy this finger of Kit Kat whilst Agatha rubs me betwixt the toes.
So, Mike, that's the derivation of the finger.
Wonderful.
And the Twix. And you're right. Kit Kat is marvelously superior.
That's
to
exciting.
A Twix.
That's exciting.
And I think the Twix has a bad cookie. And I think that's the problem. Bad cookies.
I think it's the chocolate. You think it's the cookie. You say cookie. I say chocolate. Halloween's round the corner. Twix. Blech. Don't like them. There you go. We have to take a break. When we come back, I will share a ghost story with you folks.
Ghost?
That involves my family home, which I was forced to sell in a bankruptcy hearing.
That's
and,
scarier than the ghost, Mike.
The story of the home. Okay. And a little peek into my life of privilege.
Oh.
No, not. Hey, there's so much to...
There's and so he was dripping in jewels.
There's so much to love about October. Yeah. So make sure you're at your best with Liquid IV's new hydration multiplier and immune support, Mango Passion Fruit.
Mm.
5 times the daily value of vitamin C, 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. You can give your body the immune support it needs, especially during cold and flu season.
Yes.
Mm. And you can get a taste of the tropics. Aloha! Mele kalikimaka is the thing to say when you're drinking Liquid IV. Hydration multiplier and immune support. Scientifically formulated to support a healthy immune system with 5 times the daily value of vitamin C in every serving to give your body all in one hydration and immune support for everyday wellness, vitality, and rehydration. Plus, 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, and always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear poor, live more, Liquid IV, 1 stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. I'm drinking it right now, having me some lemon lime today. Support Good. Everyday wellness with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TMOS at checkout. That is 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Before I get into this story of the supernatural, or perhaps the supernatural, or just a little scary, mm-hmm. I would like to alert the listeners that this story I'm telling will include slight embellishments and name changes
to protect
and to enhance the narrative. Are you ready?
Mike, before we start, I have to know, would it be appropriate to bring out our Halloween singers for this? Because we haven't brought them out this year yet.
Go ahead. Let's
this will set the table. They've been waiting all season, Mike, to come
hear some
out.
Real melody here, ladies and gentlemen.
This is beautiful.
Check
stuff.
Out this crowd.
Halloween, Halloween, do Halloween.
Ghostly things are going to happen.
Ghostly things are going to happen.
Now make some scary sounds.
Well, they got to do the chorus first, Mike. How about you set up your story, then I'll bring up the scary noises.
All right. Listen, so I have a significant number of family members up in the great state of Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And for most of my life, up until recently, I was part owner of a family cottage up there that I owned with my sister and 5 of my cousins. And
everyone loved it, right?
Everybody enjoyed it. It was where I grew up during the summer. That's where we would go.
You've shared it with me and the rest of the show. It's a beautiful property.
It was a beautiful property. It was handed down to my father, his sister, and his brother. His sister didn't have any children, so the only children that were involved in it after they all passed away were my sister and my five cousins.
Right.
So, and then because multi-generational homes are difficult, as time went on, more and more of us dropped out, and now it's owned by three of my cousins, and it's still there, and I still look back with a great deal of fondness on it. Here's the story. My father, God rest his wonderful soul, was raised essentially by three unmarried aunts that were sisters of his mother.
It's
they did not marry.
You can call them spinsters.
They were spinster aunties, and it was Aunt Lila, Aunt Regina, and oh my God, is it Aunt May? I think it's Aunt May.
Well, you said you changed some names, so Aunt May. Regina, we've referred to many times in the past.
The fact is that this Irish family got this cottage when they traded it from the state of Washington, where they were where they owned an orchard, and their brother. I think they made money in the alcohol biz. Red Jacket Bitters was the name of it. I'm not quite sure, but he amassed a significant amount of moolah and was able to have this big orchard. And then the story goes like this, that because of his health, he had what might be a equivalent of COPD or something like that. He was advised by his doctors that the climate where he was in that part of Washington State was too dry, and it was not good for his health. And he advised him to go to a property or an area of the country where there was more humidity and cooler temperatures. That's the way I
get it. Didn't have humidifiers back then, Mike?
They did not have humidifiers.
Would have saved a lot of trouble.
I don't know if I'm leaving out any detail. But that's the general gist of the story. If my cousin Teddy was on the line right now, he would probably be correcting me right and left. But I'm doing the best I can. This is how it goes. That there was there in the old days, occasionally, people would put ads in the newspaper that were ads designed to switch properties. We'll trade a property, looking for a property in this part of the world. We have a property in that part of the world. If you go, and you guys would have seen it when you were in my cottage up there.
Yeah.
You would have seen a long, long, narrow photograph along the wall with an old, like, Model T kind of car that was out in the orchard. That was a picture of the orchard that was traded and the farm that was traded for the house in Maine.
All right.
The people that traded that. Well, and it might, by the way, be vice versa. I'm not sure. But for whatever reason,
there was an exchange.
The Clark family, who owned the property in Maine, chose to move out to the state of Washington. And the Sheehan family, that's my mother's maiden name, traded the house for the house in Maine.
Now, the Clark family eventually got into education, and he had a baseball bat when he ran the school, right?
Yes, that's right. Joe Clark.
Joe Clark.
That means they can hardly read. That was a little right-hand turn. Are you with me, Josh? You looks like you might be dozing off there. Are you okay?
Following.
All right,
I'm
just
good.
Want to make sure you're so. The Clarks were a very wealthy family.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so wealthy. And Rob has seen this, that when you went in, they had cutting edge back at the turn of the century when the house was built. Cutting edge electronics that went in later on, that where they had an intercom system and they could buzz down to where they had their maids and everything. It was a big house. It had eight bedrooms. It wasn't heated or anything like that. To this day, it's not. But it had all these bedrooms. It was right on the Frenchman's Bay. Beautiful property. Very, very nice. And we played when I was a kid with the little buzzers because the electricity still worked on them. At that time, it ended up not working. So the story goes like this. They make the trade, and then they go out, the Clark family, Mr. Clark, as he will be referred to in this story, goes out to the West Coast. And he was a very wealthy businessman. And after that, Mr. Clark has business in San Francisco. And he goes to San Francisco. And while in San Francisco, he's transacting business, and he is carrying, this is the way the story goes, a large amount of cash with him, and Mr. Clark, and we can use the scary music, not the Halloween spooks one, but some real scary.
No.
But he goes missing in San Francisco.
He actually goes missing.
Had money on him, they said. He goes missing. The way the story goes is that all that was found in San Francisco Bay was his hat. But they did identify it as Mr. Clark's hat. Never seen again. And at this point, they were in control of the property in the state of Washington. My family was in control of the house in Maine. So that's how it ended, that he died or went missing.
Yeah.
Under what I would describe as mysterious circumstances.
At the very least.
One of the aunts, and this is a few years down the road, was sitting on the porch. If you go to this cottage, it's pretty much right out of a Stephen King book.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Pet Sematary, the original one with Fred Gwynn, was filmed in my town up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like. And you've got pine forests that are nestled right up to these cottages. And one evening, just after dusk, very, very dark out, and one of the spinster aunts, Aunt Regina's, sitting on the back porch. Out of the corner of her eye, she looks over, and standing at the edge of the woods is an older man, snow-white hair, with a white beard. Looks like he's almost a homeless hobo-style guy that's got the white beard. And he is looking up and down. He appears to be surveying the house and just looking at it in a way that, you know, somebody wouldn't look at it if he just wandered up on it. And you couldn't wander up on it. You'd have to be looking for this house to find it. Aunt Regina goes in to find the other aunties to tell them there's a stranger outside. When she returns, he is gone.
Wow.
Shortly thereafter, they speculated that that may have been either Mr. Clark or perhaps the ghost of Mr. Clark. Over the years, for many, many years, if a door slams and it is a big, drafty, old house with tons of nooks and crannies and a very, very terrifying attic.
I've never even seen the attic. I can only imagine.
I will give you the truth that over the years, multiple members of my family have stayed there alone. I have never had the privilege. I have never been in that house.
Would you if it had been offered?
I probably have been offered or had an opportunity to do so, and I did not. So whenever a door slams, whenever the wind comes through and something creaks, we say, that's Mr. Clark. And we say that to this very day because we believe that the ghost of Mr. Clark haunts the family house of the O'Malley's.
Passed it on to your daughters? Like, would they know?
They know
about
the
Mr.
story.
Clark? Okay.
They
also.
And I said, I will often say to my kids, anybody want to go up into the attic and say hi to Mr. Clark? So there it is. There's my ghost story. Hope you enjoyed that, ladies and gentlemen.
I love it.
And Mr. Clark, still to this day, wandering those woods, checking out the house. And they found his hat. San Francisco.
That's
very scary.
Did he get an equal share of the house?
That's funny. That's funny. No longer associated with it. Haven't been in it in about 4 or 5 years. We'll take a break, and we will come back with some, what do we have? Do we have
beautiful video?
We have beautiful video.
Beautiful,
that's just a bit of chill in the air, ladies and gentlemen, because autumn is here. And with Legacy Box, you can cozy up and watch something very special this fall. Your family's movies, your home movies. Legacy Box is simple. It's safe. It's the solution for digitizing all your family's wonderful, delicious memories. By going to legacybox.com/TMOS, you can get 55% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. The process is easy. Send in your Legacy Box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. Their team will professionally digitize everything by hand right in the USA. You'll get it back on the cloud or a thumb drive along with your originals. Legacy Box digitizes over 15 different types of analog media, so whatever it is they got you covered. 10 years in business they've been. Yep. Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer. They have helped over, how many people? Oh, my God. 1 million families relive their wedding days, baby's first steps, and even great moments from your early voting adventure, like I had with the service dog.
You
go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS to get an incredible 55% off. Buy today. Send it in when you're ready. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS. LegacyBox.com/TMOS.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Dan O'Brien.
I haven't talked to Dan in a while. I just wanted to send a shout out to him.
Hi, Dan. Mrs. O'Brien. Hi, Debbie.
Debbie Carano O'Brien. Yes. I wonder if she's counting down the days to Las Vegas, Mike.
I hope she is. Love to see her out there. Really love to. How many days are left till Vegas, ladies and gentlemen?
Ten.
Ten.
Listen to this. Ten.
There are now just 10 days to go.
Ten.
Did you hear what the man said?
10 days.
Time is now. And we're just 10 days away.
10 days. Which is just 10 days away?
It's 10 days.
Less than 10 days away.
Those binoculars look like a bunch of frogs up there.
Different out cue, Mike.
Ten.
The Mike O'Mara Show in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's so wonderful.
We'll see you there.
How many days are left?
10.
Stop it. Don't make him play it again. My God, Mike.
Tomorrow will be 9, but today, Mike, just 10.
Very good, 10.
Did your wife collect things that are seemingly meaningless, but she has like a penchant for grabbing them and putting them in the cabinet?
She's a massive collector, but only one thing.
What's that?
Shrunken heads.
Now, I love comedian Bill Burr.
You know what? I'm a fan, too. You know what? Bill Burr is an example of how to do it.
You're right. You're exactly right.
I mean, he's
right.
A perfect example of how to get it done. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he does a great job. It makes me laugh almost. And his old appearances on Late Night with Conan O'Brien were legendary in my opinion.
He's not apologetic about being Bill Burr. And I love this. His wife keeps buying collectible Starbucks cups and bringing them home and putting them in, he says, cupboard. I like to say cupboard. But he says there are too many of these in his cupboard. And this is her talking about trying to thin them out. We start with Mrs. Burr.
I promised my husband that I would get rid of my Starbucks cups that I've been collecting.
That's the first time I'm hearing that.
Hear him in the background.
Yeah. I believe this nightmare all started off with this one here. A little blue cup here. What's wrong with this, you know? I don't get it, but she does. You know, this makes you look cool. I think she was upset with me that day. Right? So you get this. Okay. And then this sits in the cupboard. And everybody can relax. But then she went back the next day. And she was thinking about Prince. Purple rain. And it was bigger than the other one. Now there's two of them. And then she got this one.
This is a very popular, hard to find one. Can I keep this one?
No, you can keep them all near. Like, you've broken me. You know those hoary outfits that women wear at the gym? They're usually this color. Wow, fucking working out. Stop staring at me.
There's a red one.
Evidently was Christmas.
They did have green ones, but I refrained.
So you showed a little
restraint.
Yeah. Global. Anyway, is that like a mermaid?
It's a siren. Yeah.
What's
it's
a
Starbucks
siren? This
mermaid.
One I like. Reminds me of my crotch.
Oh my God.
I got it at a pig concert. Flipping past her. Have I told you how much that terrifies me every time? I remember in wrestling, I forget the guy's name. He came in on one of those things into the ring, and it broke, and he fell to his death. Enjoy the Pink concert.
So, what that is a guy actually riffing just on coffee cups and making it work.
He can
hats
do it.
Off to
absolutely,
him.
Bill Burr, awesome.
Mike, this is near. I believe this is near Mobile, Alabama. Now, I shouldn't like bears, like in real life, because they're very dangerous.
Is this the video where she's shielding the kid's face?
No, this is better. This is a bear that actually rolled a trash can out of the garage. Now, this is
terrifying, but they are funny sometimes.
Mike,
too,
it is a
because they're really
effort.
Related to dogs, ladies and gentlemen.
It is really a tedious effort to put out and take in the trash cans, but if you have bears.
Yeah, that's right, Lanice and Cameron. But this latest attempt didn't go as planned.
He's in the garage.
Didn't make a clean getaway like he did the previous time. But despite that,
he's standing up on the trash can.
This guy is smarter than the average bear.
The average bear.
Tonight, a trash can thief in Saraland caught on camera. This video shows a bear dragging Bryce and Brianna Hovind's trash can outside of their patio area.
Wow.
Hovind says the bear didn't just pull the can out. He decided to share it with his neighbors.
True.
And even left scratch marks.
He kept dragging it down the driveway another 15, 20 foot and just laid it down in the neighbor's yard and just started laying in the trash and eating it.
The Hovind.
And that was horrible, Mike. No one had eaten that much trash in that family since the father.
Yeah, he'll be into that kid's hand Halloween candy. That baby is still on the teeth.
He mostly, Mike, mostly he lives on a diet of nerds.
Nerds and peanut butter cups, you know. Oh, yeah, the baby loves it. Baby can't even eat candy. Ah, shut up. Get out of here. Yeah, why don't you move on about 20 foot down the road? Come on now.
Get that bear. Put the trash out. Let's close with something classic. People don't realize what a game-changing movie The Exorcist was when it came out, 1973.
Still holds
especially, up. Especially people that were brought up, and I've heard this from several sources.
Josh is afraid to watch it.
Yeah.
Correct.
People who are brought up in the Catholic faith, it hit harder because there's so much intertwining with Catholicism and the actual exorcism. But it really flipped my dad out. My mom to this day won't even let me refer to it. But these are man on the street interviews of the people that came out of The Exorcist on its premiere in 1973. So this is like brand new movie just came out. And these are the people reacting to it. This is a scary movie.
Going back in there.
Closest thing I've ever seen.
It's weird.
She turned her head around.
She turned her head around.
We have a lot of people throwing up and a lot of people shuddering. But the thing that really surprises me is people faint. I mean, I've never in my life known a movie where people would faint.
I think it's disgusting.
Why?
I don't know, it's just, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make me want to get sick like everybody says. It just, my legs are just going, meh.
Fainted. The woman actually fainted right there on camera. And I expect to see the same reactions 10 days from now on the pool deck in Las Vegas.
Oh. Now people react to our show.
I'm going to watch it on the flight.
Good. See if you can't get it on the big screen.
Are you really going to watch it on the flight? No.
No.
That's it. Oh, by the way, since we have that, hold on.
Yeah.
Wanted to make sure that I put this in the soundboard. For Rob Spiewak, ladies and gentlemen, for all you Exorcist fans out there.
Yeah.
It burns! Oh, it burns!
No, still freaks me out. That's that. We got to get out of here. Get your wristbands. Get your tickets. Come out and see us in Las Vegas. 10 days left. Ten days left, ladies and gentlemen. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, this is Mike O'Mara saying, so long, everybody.
That was a vulgar display of power, Mike.
One more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Right. So what do you want now?
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.
And I say that in all due respect to women, and I love women.